Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
US and Japanese bond yields have been soaring in recent days. To some, it might be a reflection in recovery of stock markets in the first and fourth largest economies in the world. Or it might be investors waking up to the fact that both nations are heavily in debt with no prospect of getting that debt mountain down. My next guest certainly has thoughts on how the Trump administration is shaking up markets and how it could impact Ireland. Gregory Purden is a well-known fund manager and was named among CityWire's most influential wealth managers. He's also a senior advisor with More Ireland. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning.
Now, can we start with bond yields? These are the interest rates paid by governments to people who buy their bonds. Is there much significance in the surge of Japanese and US bond yields? And we can take them one country at a time, if you know what I mean.
Sure, Joe. Yeah, absolutely. Good morning. Good morning. So just in terms of starting with Japan, there's a big mega trend which is in the process of taking place, and that is government bond yields are rising. And the mistake I think some investors are making are just trying to point to one factor behind that. And actually, the better way to do that is to set up a scenario where you look at the multi-factors which are supporting that big trend. So some of the factors, if we try to unpick or go under the bonnet, would include the fact that the base rate, the base rate in Japan is about 0.5%, yet inflation is over 3 and target is 2. Mm. So that something has to give there. In addition, the Bank of Japan, the central bank of Japan, is tapering its purchases. So in other words,
not buying as many bonds as it was.
Yeah. So yield curve control, their equivalent of quantitative easing, ended, I think, last March. And so, of course, that creates less demand. In addition to that, wage pressures have been on the rise over the course of the past few years. Okay, very, very recently, less so on an inflation-adjusted basis. But again, as wages go up, generally that's not brilliant for government bond markets. Mm. In addition to that, I'm just trying to give you a full, and the viewership, a full mosaic. Debt to GDP is very high in Japan.
260%.
Yes, but it now matters. I mean, historically, that number has been elevated for a long, long time, but all of a sudden, the market's now paying attention to it. In addition to that, you have the correlation with other government bond yields. And so to think of it, what to think of it is, you know, as the tide rises, all the boats also rise. Mm. And so the Japanese government bond market is correlated to the Italian government market, the U.S. government bond market. So when
it's not in isolation.
Mm. And so we must always consider that. And in addition to that, we have fiscal deficits. Now, for years, fiscal deficits haven't mattered. I mean, around the world generally, mm. but now all of a sudden they do matter. And I think the Japanese fiscal deficit is estimated to come in around 3.5%. And then the final factor, and again, there's many factors, is that the insurance companies, so domestic, heavyweight domestic investors in the JGB, Japanese government bond market, mm. are less keen because as yields go up, the price goes down.
Yeah. So let's move quickly to America, where bond yields have been inching up. Much of that is due to the fact that investors in American bonds, which is the biggest bond market, have realized that American debt at whatever it is, $16 trillion, it's not going to get paid off anytime soon.
No, I mean, the consensus amongst investors in relation to government bond markets is that they're not overly impressed with what's happening in the Oval Office. If you wanted to put a little bit of a positive spin on it, I mean, one of the positives out of the Oval Office, I mean, there's some negatives, but there's also some positives, is that there now is a spotlight on the fiscal deficit. And it doesn't look like this fiscal deficit is going to be solved anytime soon.
Not if you're giving a massive tax cut to people, which you want to do.
Exactly correct, Joe. And so that can't get reconciled very quickly. In addition to that, you have the volatility, the uncertainty of the prospects for elevation in trade wars and tariffs. And generally speaking, and you know, of course, looking into the future is a forecast, but generally speaking, trade wars are not considered very positive for economic growth. And one of the ways you can try to solve a debt problem is by either raising taxes, cutting costs, or, of course, growing an economy. Mm. because then the debt to GDP ratio then improves if you have growth. But if you have trade wars, maybe growth doesn't grow as much.
Yeah, and I think Mr. Dimon, Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan, said that there's a 50% chance of recession. In terms of Trumponomics, the overall policy of big, beautiful tariffs, his favorite word in the English language, what impact do you think that would have on this country? You're an advisor to More Ireland.
So just in terms of the Irish debate, I don't want to give too much of a positive spin, but I do sense there's a lot of negativity around the specter of these trade wars. So Ireland did dodge, at least temporarily, the pharmaceutical tariff bullets, which is brilliant. The one thing that I would just remind viewers of, listeners of, is the fact that unemployment is very low in the U.S. And so what does that mean? It means you can't reshore overnight because there's enough, you know, inverted commas, bums on seats to actually accommodate that reshoring. So that's a positive. In addition to that, when we saw, Liberation Day, now dubbed Capitulation Day.
Mm-hmm. April 2nd?
The bond market really roared. And apparently, the Treasury Secretary and the Commerce Secretary both sort of cornered the president and said, "Look, you know,
you got to do something.
We need to flinch here." And so it's almost like the bond market is helping to bail out, you know, global business, because ultimately what the bond market wants is globalization to continue for growth.
It also wants certainty,
and it wants certainty. And so that's a little bit of a positive. And then I think the third point, and this is a bit more micro as opposed to macro, and I'm more of a macro guy, is that there's going to be an orientation away from China. That's going to be one of the financial mega trends. And
in the United States.
In the US. And so maybe Ireland can try to benefit from that orientation away from China, in light of the fact that, you know, there's a, you know, English speaking, a good rule of law, you know, favorable tax treatment. So then people, you know, they like dealing, you know, working with Ireland. So I'm not trying to paint too much of a positive picture.
But you think the pessimism might be overdone?
I think I've been working in markets almost three decades, and if there's one thing I've learned is that there's always, you know, kind of too much overzealousness initially, and then when the facts come through, then all of a sudden people start to be a little bit more sanguine.
Thank you very much for joining us, Gregory. That's Gregory Purden there, a fund manager and senior advisor with More Ireland.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.